Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dan, Cost America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton of Vancouver will be on in 1 hour from now. Greg's going to help me cover a couple of news items today that have something to do with what is going on in the Middle East. One of the things that we will chat about is the Waldheimer Report. That it goes back, of course, to something that involves the Israeli lobby. Involves Mearsheimer and Walt. Those are the names, Mearsheimer and Walt, I believe. And these very interesting professors, I believe, from Harvard and the University of Chicago have written this report that's caused a lot of consternation in the last year or two with the academic community, that portion of it that has continued to promote the pro-Israeli line. So we will be chatting about that, along with a couple of items pertaining to Afghanistan when Greg Felton joins us in about 1 hour from now. Mark Glenn has a new piece out, and it's entitled, Because It's Funny When We Do It. You know, when you read through what Mark Glenn has to say about a particular young lady who is considered to be a very fine professional comedian, we discover quite clearly that some of the things that I read from David Duke's speech of July coming from Moscow continue to plague us today. I have never heard of a comedian named Sarah Silverman, because I try to stay away from television, try to stay away from contemporary American culture as much as I can. Mark Glenn observes in his new essay that Sarah Silverman really is the epitome of what Mark terms the vulgar, brutish, boorish behavior of a culture that has gone completely awry. And reading about this particular young lady, who is apparently, again, a very avant-garde comedian in today's American Judaized culture, it's an absolutely shocking piece. Mark Glenn actually says that. He says that he was shocked to read the following quote from one of Ms. Silverman's comedy routines. As usual, says Mark Glenn, I apologize ahead of time to those with delicate ears or delicate eyes. This is what Sarah Silverman finds funny, and the kind of thing that is presently being broadcast and written about in American culture when it comes to this so-called comedy. Listen to this, folks. Quote, I hope the Jews did kill Christ. I'd do it again. I'd effing do it again in a second, unquote. Mark Glenn then says, gee, this must be a mistake, I thought to myself. They're not there that bold yet. But that's exactly what was said by this comedian. Can you imagine this? Let me read this to you again, just because of the horrible character of this. I hope the Jews did kill Christ. I'd do it again. I'd effing do it again in a second. What is the significance of this so-called comedian, Sarah Silverman? I think the significance of this piece is simply that Christian culture has gone by the wayside in American society. And it's gone by the wayside because it has been targeted by specific groups of people that have wanted to see it destroyed, and destroyed forever, and destroyed comprehensively. And when we think about what Mark Glenn talks about today from the American Free Press, we are reminded again of what Duke has talked about in his Moscow speech from July of this last year. You know, I don't know if you read David Duke's speech, which was delivered in Moscow, but it goes into a great deal of detail about this whole business of cultural declension in America and who and what has been behind it. I want to look at a little bit more of that after the break. But the other fascinating thing is that the mainstream media has not allowed Duke to speak for himself, but has demonized. Why? We'll be back. This is Mark Dan, Cost America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton will join us at 8 a.m. Stay tuned.
there is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton will join us at 8 o'clock this morning. We're going to be looking at the Mearsheimer-Walt Report. What is it? What are its implications? What is it saying about the fact that just within American academia alone, there is a crack in the canvas when it comes to what was once the monolithic support, almost, for the Israeli lobby's policies in the Middle East? The Mearsheimer-Walt Report. And when we look at this with Greg Felton, it is interesting to see that this should be analyzed along with the kinds of things that Alan Dershowitz has been doing recently. Dershowitz, of course, has been out there threatening legal action against American and British academics who sign off on a boycott against Israel and a criticism of Israel's policies in both British and American academia. That's a very significant thing, I think, because when you look at what has been going on with Dershowitz, it seems that he represents a larger movement on the part of the lobby to ensure that freedom of speech is denied in Britain and in Canada and in America when it comes to an overall academic criticism of what the government of Israel is doing in Palestine and a look at the larger question of the role of the Israeli lobby in suppressing freedom of speech in the academic arenas in these countries. And a lot of it began with the Mearsheimer-Walt report. That was a major crack in the canvas for the Israeli lobby, when these academics from Harvard and the University of Chicago began looking more definitively into the role of the Israeli lobby in the American and British academic scene, and began promoting the idea that the Israeli lobby should come under the same criticism as everyone else in academia. That was an idea that had to be suppressed. Suppressed because the more people looked at what Mearsheimer and Walt had to say, the more it became obvious that they were correct. And truth has a way of unnerving people who've had a free ride when it comes to putting together agitation propaganda in the establishment since the end of the Second World War. So when we talk with Greg Felton today, I'm sure the question of Alan Dershowitz may come up as we look at the Mearsheimer-Walt report and what it says about desperation. Desperation on the part of those who want to deny freedom of speech to others, because it is the latter group, the others, who have truth. I was a part of a group of people online last night, very, very briefly, commenting on some of Matthias Chang's latest observations from Malaysia. Matthias has run some things by some of the people who read his work regularly. I'm now privileged to be on that list. And Matthias had some things to say about the way he thought events were developing that makes for some very, very interesting analysis. That's all I'll say about that at this point. But as we watch what is happening in the world scene, the Mearsheimer-Walt report and some of the things that Alan Dershowitz and a few other people have been trying to do to suppress freedom of speech in American and Canadian and British academia in the wake of the issuance of that report is being mirrored, it seems to me, by what is going on in our foreign policy. Isn't it fascinating to watch the extent to which the wheels are coming off of neocon policy? You see this in Afghanistan. We're going to be chatting about that with Greg this morning as well, the whole situation in Afghanistan. You see it in Iraq. You see it with what is happening with our Iran policy and Palestine policy. At the same time that we're watching some of the things going on with the financial markets, and I tell you, this sort of thing is scary. The London Financial Times this weekend had an extensive report on the fact that the Feds had pumped another $38 billion into the markets in the wake of what has begun to unravel in regard to these hedge funds. The Bear Stearns thing, it seems, is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to hedge funds that have been very, very much involved with the subprime mortgage loan scandal. When you watch this whole thing unfolding, it seems to me that there's a dangerous relationship between what's happening in the financial markets in the way of meltdown and what is clearly happening when it comes to the meltdown of our foreign policy and the meltdown of our domestic tranquility. It's all coming apart at once. And one of the people that was talking about Matthias Chang's latest observations last night online, a person from abroad, was basically saying this, that we are speaking here of a situation where it's not a question of whether or not the wheels will come off when it comes to the Anglo-American Zionist alliance and all of its implications. But as the wheels begin to come off in terms of what that alliance has meant and what it's been trying to do, the only question now is the exact date or dates when the thing comes apart completely, and what are the implications going to be? What kind of a vacuum is going to be created by all of this when it hits at once and if it hits at once? The foreign policy catastrophe on the one hand, and then the international financial markets and the way in which they've been responding to this whole business of the Bear Stearns controversy and the hedge funds trauma. Then we look at all of the public and private debt that we have been carrying around in the United States for some very obvious reasons. There's no empire that can survive this sort of thing, folks. We see it happening. We know it's happening. And as it begins to unravel, where is it leading? What do we do? What are the sorts of things that we can do to protect ourselves, if anything? All of this, of course, we're going to be looking at in days ahead. But back to this whole business of culture. Mark Lynn's new essay tells us that there's a very serious problem with culture. this so-called Jewish comedienne, Sarah Silverman, is a part of that. You know, here we have someone who, clearly does not believe in the substitutionary atonement of Jesus. Now, there are a lot of fine people who don't. I happen to be one who does believe in Jesus, who does believe in the Orthodox Christian understanding of Jesus as far as his Christological identity, in regard to the fact that I believe in the Orthodox Christian teaching that the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ has paid for the sins of those who receive what Jesus offers in faith. But I know that there are fine people who don't believe that, so this is not a theological debate this morning. It is a cultural debate and a political debate from the vantage point of culture and decency and what should be considered within the bounds of acceptability and discourse, and what in terms of decency is outside those bounds, even if it's covered by the First Amendment and should be covered by the First Amendment. When we look at the comments of this Sarah Silverman, it is abundantly clear that she finds the death of Jesus Christ to be laughable. She finds it acceptable to mock him, and to mock him publicly, and to mock the faith of those who believe in Jesus Christ. That is defamatory. That is deliberate, overt blasphemy. And it's not funny. I do not think it appropriate to desecrate the Orthodox Jewish faith. Neither do I find it appropriate to desecrate the Islamic faith or any other legitimate religious faith. I say legitimate. Obviously, I believe in the exclusive claims of Christianity as an Orthodox Lutheran pastor. But I certainly recognize that there are other fine religions that are not my religion that should be respected in our culture. That should be a given. Ms. Silverman's remarks suggest that she does not believe that, but that she's a part of a larger issue when it comes to an organized Jewish attempt to desecrate Christianity in the United States. Duke's Moscow speech comes back into play then, because he gives us something of the historical background behind this. You may remember that I read a portion of this David Duke speech some days ago. I want to continue with this a little bit because it dovetails with what Mark Glenn has been saying in his latest essay. If you go back to David Duke's Moscow speech of July of this year, he, among other things, reminds us that Sigmund Freud was Jewish, and that Freud has a series of things to say that Dr. Duke quotes that are well worth your time in understanding what has happened in this sexualization of American culture. Duke goes on to say that Freud's legacy has continued with the mainstreaming of pornography. Professor Nathan Abrams, writing in the winter 2004 issue of the Jewish Quarterly in an article titled Triple Xnex, literally boasts about the preeminent Jewish role in transforming pornography to mainstream culture in the United States and Europe. He also quotes leading Jewish pornographers, revealing their motivations. Quote, "Is there a deeper reason beyond the mere financial as to why Jews in particular have been involved in pornography?" Al Goldstein, the publisher of SCREW, said, quote, "The only reason that Jews are in pornography is that we think that Christ, S-U-C-K-S, Catholicism, S-U-C-K-S, we don't believe in authoritarianism," unquote. Pornography thus becomes a way of defiling Christian culture, and as it penetrates to the very heart of the American mainstream, and is no doubt consumed by those very same wasps, its subversive character becomes more charged. Extending the subversive thesis, Jewish involvement in the X-rated industry can be seen as a proverbial two fingers to the entire WASP establishment in America," unquote. Abrams, writing in a Jewish journal for a presumably Jewish audience, writes matter-of-factly about the atavistic hatred against us by Jewish pornographers and their motivation to weaken the dominant culture in America by moral subversion. David Duke quotes then again from Abrams, and we'll get to this when we come back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We join up with Greg Felton at 8 a.m. Stay tuned.
there is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
We're back. This is Mark Handhouse, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. In the first hour of the show, we're taking a bit of a look at this whole business of culture. Clearly, American neocon foreign policy is coming apart at the seams. Clearly, when you look at this whole business of hedge funds and this business of subprime mortgage lending, this points to the fact that the economy is beginning to come apart. We can clearly look at American culture and see the same thing happening. Mark Glenn's latest essay is a part of this in regard to analyzing what's behind it. He is writing in his latest piece about a Jewish comedian, if you want to call her that, whose name is Sarah. Sarah, let's see here. Let me go back and take a look. I don't have Mark's piece up here. Silverstein, I believe, is her name. And at any rate, she talks about some things related to Jesus Christ that are absolutely blasphemous. We read carefully, I emphasize carefully, because there was obscenity in some of her public address related to Jesus Christ that I had to be very careful in how I read it on the air. But the sort of blasphemy that is involved in this is quite clearly something that is a part of a larger picture. The larger picture is the Judaizing of American culture. The Judaizing of American culture as it relates to targeting Christianity. Now, David Duke, of course, is someone who clearly has been demonized by the American establishment. Duke delivered a speech in Moscow last July that I have read portions of in the past. I have continued this morning to read his speech because in conjunction with the Mark Glenn article, he talks about the larger historical and cultural and political context in which we need to see this sort of blasphemy. Duke's speech, of course, references, among many, many things, the mainstreaming of pornography on the part of the Jewish community. And Duke mentions Professor Nathan Abrams, writing in the winter 2004 issue of the Jewish Quarterly, in an article entitled Triple Exnics. He literally boasts about the preeminent Jewish role, says David Duke, in transforming pornography to mainstream culture in the U.S. and Europe. He also quotes leading Jewish pornographers revealing their motivations. One of these, of course, is the infamous Al Goldstein, who continues blaspheming Jesus Christ and defaming Roman Catholicism publicly. I read something from the Goldstein quote that Abrams uses here that David Duke in turn mentions in Moscow. And Duke goes on to say that Abrams, writing in a Jewish journal for a presumably Jewish audience, writes matter-of-factly about the atavistic hatred against us, says David Duke, by Jewish pornographers and their motivation to, quote, weaken the dominant culture in America by moral subversion, unquote. He's quoting Abrams there. Abrams goes on to say that Jewish involvement in porn, by this argument, is the result of an atavistic hatred of Christian authority. They are trying to weaken the dominant culture in America by moral subversion. Astier remembers having to, quote, run or fight for it in grammar school because I was a Jew. It could very well be that part of my porn career, says Astier, is a quote-unquote U-P-Y-O-U-R-S to those people, unquote. Al Goldstein goes on to write, quote, Jews were also at the vanguard of the sexual revolution of the 1960s. Wilhelm Reich, Herbert Marcuse, and Paul Goodman replaced Marx, Trotsky, and Lenin as required revolutionary reading. Pacheco was one Jewish porn star who read Reich's intellectual marriage of Freud and Marx. Why are we ashamed of the Jewish role in the porn industry, says Al Goldstein? We might not like it, but the Jewish role in this field has been significant, and it's about time it was written about seriously, unquote. David Duke then continues. Now I must address, he says in Moscow in July of this year, I must address a topic it pains me to discuss, the white slave trade, the horrible degradation and tragic loss of tens of millions of white women, including many women from here in Moscow, across Russia, and across Eastern Europe. Is there anyone here at this conference, says David Duke, or anyone anywhere in the white world not aware that this abominable trade is centered in Israel and led by their brethren from New York to Los Angeles, Vladivostok to Dublin? In a New York Times News Service article on January 11, 1998, entitled Slave Traders Lure Slavic Women, unquote, Michael Spector identifies these millions of unimaginably degraded victims as mostly Eastern European young women, and he documents their masters to be Jews. He quotes an Israeli white slave master, Jacob Golan, quote, the women who work there, like nearly all prostitutes in Israel, are Russian. Their boss is not. Quote, Israelis love Russian girls, said Jacob Golan. They are blonde and good-looking and different from us, unquote, he said, chuckling. Duke then continues to say by saying that Spector points out that millions of Eastern European women have been brutalized in this Jewish criminal racket. That's right, says David Duke. I said millions. Isn't it amazing that there are those in our ranks who condemn some of us for even identifying the evil creatures who kidnap, enslave, rape, and degrade our women in perhaps one of the most cruel and inhuman practices in the history of mankind? We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with a bit of David Duke's Moscow speech from July in conjunction with Mark Glenn's latest essay. And then Greg Felton will be on at 8 o'clock. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase. Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
This is Mark Ancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton of Canada will join us at 8 o'clock this morning. We're going to talk about the Mearsheimer-Walt Report. We're also going to be looking at some things going on in Afghanistan. And Greg will zero in on the significance of that report as it pertains to the cracks in the canvas in what was once the Israeli lobby's virtual monolithic control of American academia. The Mearsheimer-Walt report is an indication that some of that is beginning to strain. Some of that is beginning to crack. There are places now where people are taking the risks to criticize Israel and Zionism in American academia. Now, this explains, I think, why Alan Dershowitz is turning up the heat. in terms of trying to have legal action taken against people in this country and Canada in the academic community who are not buying on to the Zionist line anymore. But it all began, I think, with the Mearsheimer-Walt report in regard to the cracks in the canvas. We're going to be talking about that with Greg today and also the whole business of what's going on in Afghanistan. Here in this hour, we've been talking about the whole issue of culture. Mark Glenn's latest essay talks about a so-called Jewish comedienne whom I had never heard of. But when you read the things that this lady has had to say publicly about Jesus Christ and about the whole business of Christianity, it was utterly blasphemous. And one does not have to be a Christian to be respectful of the Christian religion. I am respectful of the Jewish religion and the Islamic religion and the Mormon religion and the Hindu and Buddhist religions and so forth and so on. Very respectful of those, even though those do not represent my own theology. Decency dictates that we respect religious teachings and those who believe in them where those things are a part of something that can be seen as intellectually and spiritually credible, even if it's not what we believe ourselves. That is my responsibility as a decent person, to not defame Judaism or the Hindu religion or the Islamic religion or whatever it happens to be. And you know, in our culture, we used to have a greater sense of what was respectful and decent, and that there were certain boundaries that we did not cross as a culture. We now cross them with impunity, it seems to me, and we proclaim ourselves to be proud of the notion that blasphemy and indecency and obscenity should be a part of the mainstreaming of our culture. What's behind this? David Duke, who is consistently demonized, of course, by mainstream American media, for all of the obvious reasons, has a speech on his website that was delivered in Moscow in July. This is an interesting, fascinating presentation. I read from it the other day, portions of it. I'm now reading the section where Dr. Duke is talking about the central role, the core role, of Jews in the promotion of the pornography industry in the United States. Now, one level, of course, there is clearly a profit motive involved in this. Unfortunately, evil sells. We all know this. And unfortunately, there's a lot of money to be made in things that are absolutely despicable. So the profit motive is there, but it goes beyond that. David Duke, I think, demonstrates when he looks at Nathan Abrams' essay in the Jewish Quarterly, where, quoting a Jewish source, Dr. Abrams, Duke points out very clearly that it goes beyond the profit motive. There is a desire to destroy the history of Christian culture in the United States. What better way to do it than to promote pornography and abortion and homosexuality and sexual promiscuity across the board? This is the thesis of what Duke has to say from Moscow in July, and it's very, very well substantiated by Dr. Duke. He goes on to say that Spector points out that millions of Eastern European women have been brutalized in this Jewish criminal racket. He's speaking here of the slave trade. That's right, says David Duke. I said millions. Isn't it amazing that there are those in our ranks who condemn some of us for even identifying the evil creatures who kidnap, enslave, rape, and degrade our women in perhaps one of the most cruel and inhuman practices in the history of mankind? In his book Prostitution and Prejudice, Jewish historian Edward Bristow writes about how the World Jewish Prostitution Network enslaving European women has operated not just for decades, but for centuries. We forever hear, says Duke, about collective guilt of Germans and Eastern Europeans against Jews, but how much do you hear about this disgusting, massive violation of the most sacred of human rights? These atrocities against our women and girls are going on right now, even as I speak. Speaking of ethnic crimes, Duke says, we are in Moscow. Just a kilometer from here are some of the homes of some of the greatest mass murderers of all time. They killed millions of good Russian and other European peoples. Solzhenitsyn, one of the greatest men of our age, now assigned to almost a non-entity by the controlled media, reveals the identity of the Bolshevik mass murderers of the Russian people. Pictured on page 79 of the Gulag Archipelago 2 are the leading administrators of the Gulag, the greatest killing machine in the history of the world. They are Aaron Soltz, Yakov Rapoport, Lazar Kogan, Matvei Berman, Genrik Yagoda, and Naftali Frankel. All six are Jews. Why is the biggest Holocaust in the history of mankind by any measure kept from the livid consciousness of the white world? Excellent question today coming to us from David Duke's Moscow speech of July. Duke goes on in that speech then to talk about feminism. He says that, quote, in the early days of the women's rights movement, much of the motivation was restoration of the ancient European values of respect and honor toward women. They wanted men to be more responsible to the welfare of women and children. They sought a higher moral standard and were the main forces behind the temperance movement around the world. Jewish radical feminists, with the help of their Jewish fifth column in the media, became the premier leaders of the modern radical feminist movement. Bella Abzug, Betty Friedan, and Gloria Steinem set the opposite tone. Where before women's rights leaders wanted women to show an example of honorable and moral behavior, the new feminists told women that they wouldn't be liberated until they adopted the worst character traits of men. No longer would they urge men to act morally. They would now encourage young women to be just as immoral as the sleaziest man. Of course, this Jewish radical feminist poison has struck down millions of white women and girls with epidemic venereal diseases, mass sterility, and the vast increase of extramarital affairs and the resulting destruction of stable marriages. The radical feminists also express an animus toward marriage and motherhood and preach to women that career superseded family and children. My friend, says David Duke, without children, our people clearly die. The four most important leaders, he says, of radical feminism since the Second World War have been Betty Friedan, Bella Abzug, Gloria Steinem, and Gloria Allred. Here is a quote from the publication Jewish Women and the Feminist Revolution. Quote, Jewish feminists influenced every aspect of American life. Behold are a few examples from the Jewish Women and the Feminist Revolution exhibit of Jewish feminists who made their mark in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. Their stories will form the background for our discussion. It goes on to list many of the Jewish stars of radical feminism. Heather Booth, abortion rights and civil rights activist. Susan Brown Miller, author of Against Our Will, a groundbreaking book about rape. Blue Greenberg, Orthodox feminist. Phyllis Chesler, pioneer in the field of psychology of women. Judy Chicago, feminist visual artist. Sonia Pressman Fuentes, feminist lawyer and founder of the National Organization of Women. Nancy Miriam Howley, women's health activist. Alix Kate Schulman, feminist writer, author of Egalitarian Marriage Agreement. And Gloria Steinem, a founder of Ms. Magazine, feminist writer and speaker. Duke then goes on to discuss homosexuality and the Jewish connection to that culture in this July Moscow speech. He says, homosexuality obviously results in the lowering of our birth rates. Its peculiar sexual character also leads to a plethora of diseases that go beyond the boundaries of normal STDs. Hepatitis and HIV are propagated by the particular unhygienic biological and social behavior of homosexuality. Millions of Europeans who have succumbed to homosexual behavior have died, and hundreds of thousands of non-homosexuals have fallen victim to these homosexually spread scourges from blood transfusions and other factors. In addition, male homosexuals have been much more highly represented in the molestation of children. Millions of white lives have been severely damaged from such victimization. Of course, the media never failed to tell us that homosexuality is a perfectly acceptable lifestyle, and that if we dare to oppose it, we are simply homophobes deprived of the benefits of buggery. Again, as you might have guessed, the invaders are not simply present in the leading pro-homosexual organizations. They are absolutely dominant. Larry Kramer, co-founder of ACT UP, a homosexual AIDS activist organization, and co-founder of the Gay Men's Health Crisis. Alan Klein, co-founder of Group ACT UP, co-founder of Group Queer Nation, National Communications Director and Chief Spokesman for the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. Klein also co-founded the successful multimedia campaign Stupidly.com. Arnie Kantrowitz, the co-founder of the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. Jonathan D. Katz, founded and chairs the Harvey Milk Institute, the largest queer studies institute in the world. A longtime queer political activist, he was a co-founder of Queer Nation. Harvey Fierstein, film actor, well-known gay activist. Moises Kaufman, playwright and film director, the so-called Laramie Project. Israel Fishman, the founder of the Gay Liberation Caucus in 1970, now known as the Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgendered Roundtable of the American Library Association, the world's first gay professional organization. Bella Abzug and Edward Koch, both Jewish, the first members of the U.S. House of Representatives to introduce legislation banning discrimination based on sexual orientation in 1974. Duke then goes on in this Moscow speech in July to talk about the pro-abortion movement. He says that the abortion of millions of Europeans certainly has had an impact on our catastrophic birth rates. Contrast the opposition to abortion by almost all major Christian churches to the active promotion of abortion by the most powerful of Jewish organizations. The following leading Jewish organizations are advocates for abortion rights: the American Jewish Committee, the American Jewish Congress, B'nai B'rith Women, the Central Conference of American Rabbis, Reform Judaism, the Federation of Reconstructionist Congregations, Hadassah Women, the Jewish Labor Committee, Na'amat USA, the National Federation of Temple Sisterhoods, Reform, National Council of Jewish Women, the New Jewish Agenda, the North American Temple Youth, the Rabbinical Assembly, the Union of American Hebrew Congregations, Reform, United Synagogues of America, Conservative, the Women's League for Conservative Judaism, and so forth and so on. And to quote a prominent author, Duke says on the abortion movement, quote, "People who identify themselves as Jews have led and do lead the abortion movement, not only in the United States, but all over the world. In the late 1960s, pro-life activists observed that the abortion rights movement was primarily motivated and led by people who call themselves Jews. About half of all abortionists and abortion clinic owners identified themselves as Jewish, which was far out of proportion with the Jewish population, which made up less than 2% of the United States population," unquote. David Duke goes on to say that "I am not referring to simply a significant Jewish representation in these movements, which damage European peoples. In every one of these movements, Jews constitute the greatest single ethnic entity, the driving force behind these toxins against our survival. And all of these Jewish-led destruction movements were enormously aided by their brethren's domination of the Western world's entertainment, publishing, broadcast, and news media. Jews have been prominent in the drug problem facing every white nation. They not only have had leading roles in the organized crime rings importing and selling the drugs, Jewish-dominated Hollywood, and along with their controlled record industry, have popularized body and soul-destroying drug use. Racial mixing," Duke says, "has of course been a major theme promoted by Jewish-created films, books, plays, and TV commercials and ad campaigns. The Jewish media condemns as racist any opposition of Europeans to intermarriage, but at the same time never utters a word of condemnation of every major Jewish organization, every one of which has programs whose purpose is to lessen Jewish intermarriage. Israel, of course," says Duke, "is a nation where intermarriage between a Jew and non-Jew is illegal. Not only do the Jewish-dominated media," he says, "preach a subtle self-hatred for our people, some Jewish academics even openly call for the destruction of the white race. A prominent Jewish professor at Harvard University, Noel Ignatiev, publishes Race Traitor magazine and literally calls for the establishment and destruction of the white race. Could one imagine the outrage," says Duke, "if any Gentile called for the destruction of the Jewish people?" Duke then goes on to talk about the external versus versus the internal threat. The external versus the internal threat. Here's what he says on that score from his Moscow speech in Russia in July of this year. Quote, I must emphasize again that the non-Europeans across the world, whether one speaks of the Muslim masses or the surging Chinese, or of the growing brown and black masses prodigiously breeding around the world, they have not caused the crisis of survival we now face. They are not the ones who convinced us to even deny our very existence, to say that race, in fact, our own white race, doesn't even exist. They have not been the ones that have made us hate ourselves, not been the ones who propagandized our children into believing they will solve the world's problems by intermarrying and breeding the white race out of existence. They have not been the ones who, in Senator Jacob Javits' immortal words, caused us to, quote, open our gates, unquote. But they certainly have surged through our subversion-open gates like billions of liters of muddy flood water through the slough of a broken dam. From our earliest beginnings, says David Duke, our European homelands always had the external military threat of invasion by those seeking to drink the honey of European civilization. More than once they penetrated, at least for a short time, to the very heartland of Europe. But our heroic ancestors repelled them, and no small role in the saving of our race came from the land where we now gather, the land of Russia. But for the last number of centuries, says Duke, Western technological and military might made external military invasion untenable, if not unthinkable. In the midst of our internal genocide, our traditional enemy who controls our media and politics now directs us to spend, fight, hate, and die on foreign battlefields. Does anyone here still believe that this sacrifice in Iraq and the very likely catastrophe of war with Iran would be good for our kith and kin? As far as the threat of terrorism is concerned, says Duke, can anyone even imagine a credible terrorist threat in the Europe or America of 1961? When those who fit the terrorist profile, quote-unquote, were so few, they could be easily screened and thus society protected. You did not even have to go through a metal detector to board an international flight. But today, of course, it is quite difficult for authorities to watch for a London subway bomber in a station where half of the passengers look like the potential terrorist. They tell us, says David Duke, that we are threatened from foreign-born terrorists, but they are silent about the epidemic non-European crime rates in our own towns and cities. Far more of our people are murdered or injured in our streets by non-European criminals than in Iraq or Afghanistan. They tell us of a quote-unquote terror threat. Yet how is it, says David Duke, that 13-year-old white girls raped by non-European gangs in Stockholm or Lyon do not face terror? Tell me, please, how it is not, quote, terror, unquote, when an elderly, crippled white woman in Paris is doused with lighter fluid and set afire by an African gang. They tell us the terrorists want to wipe us out with dirty bombs, but the same tribe sponsors massive immigration, which will just as surely wipe us out with dirty jeans, quote-unquote, more effective than any dirty bomb. We can rebuild a city after a bomb, says David Duke, but once our race is genetically bombed, it is gone forever. It's like trying to uncook a boiled soup. They tell us that if we want to secure our existence and that of our children, we are haters, and that genocidal policies against our people are the height of human idealism. Now, says Duke, they focus our fears on Iran and its nuclear energy program. Yet for years, nations such as Pakistan and China have had nuclear weapons, yet no Chinese leader has lobbed any of them into Vladivostok or Seattle. Nor are they likely to do so, for they know that if they drop just one nuke on us, our response would leave their nation with not a blade of grass standing. Of course, we need to keep our vigilance, our technology, and our power. There are those, Duke says, who say, don't blame the Jewish extremists, that we are solely responsible for what has happened, that there is something intrinsically self-destructive in our own people. We'll pursue a little bit of that when we come back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton joins us at 8 a.m. Stay tuned.
She died easy. tuned for free.
With three.